Blog Talk Radio.
Reach for the sky, boy.
Rolex wear.
Woo!
Diamond rings wear.
Woo!
Hit stealing.
Woo!
Wheel and dealing.
Woo!
Limousine ride.
Woo!
Jet flying.
Woo!
Start to look up.
Woo!
And I'm having a hard time.
Holy Hurricane Town.
I give you 2 o'clock and a red flag.
This is Doing the Favor podcast, episode 24. I'm Barry Frost, as always, joined by my man, Eric Brown. Eric, what's up, buddy?
I tell you what's up. Is you out there trolling people with that Becky Lynch?
you know
people are going to be mad. Oh, man.
You
Barry's
it?
Here for all the smoke tonight. That's a hell of a start. Yeah, then right into Daniel Bryan. So, yeah, welcome, folks. We're right in the SmackDown, post-SmackDown, 10 o'clock. Daniel Bryan just won the belt. So I don't think anybody's talking about it before us. So let's get into it, Barry, real quick. I know we were going to start off with the other shit first, but, I mean, what we just saw, we got to lead with that. What do you think, buddy? Daniel Bryan is your new WWE champion, and will face Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series.
Well, that's as of right now. We have a few pay-per-views to get to before that's all said and done. But, yeah, we were just sitting here waiting for the show to go live and debating on whether they were going to go through with it or not. And I turned the channel, and Daniel Bryan gets the 1-2-3, man. He gets the victory.
To me, it's a big swerve to get off the Becky Lynch stuff. I think Becky Lynch is all the hype on this show. She's the hottest thing in WWE. When something bad happens like that, when you're losing your hottest thing for one of your biggest pay-per-views, you do something like this. I mean, this is what they do historically. I'm a big Daniel Bryan fan, and I'm happy he's the champion. And I think this is going to be awesome. I think AJ had a nice long run, and that was cool. With that being said, I wish they would have waited until after Survivor Series, because I would have much rather seen AJ Brock too.
I think that would have been a good way to go, but like you said, they're trying to divert some heat, like that, you know, that crown jewel. Vinnie Mac always keeps one in the back pocket, and they kind of diverted everyone's attention for a minute, where people will be talking about this instead of the Becky Lynch deal, which, like I said, we can lead off with that if you want to.
Well, I think everyone right now on Twitter is talking about Daniel Bryan. And this is the whole point of what I said, was trying, like you said, divert the heat, get the attention off the Becky Lynch stuff. This is what everyone's talking about right now. You have a new champion. Going in your last go-home show before going to a pay-per-view that doesn't have much buzz around it, really, especially without Becky to it. We'll see. I mean, it doesn't make me any more excited for Survivor Series at all. I'm still not excited for Survivor Series. I really don't want to spend much time really even talking about it today, because it's going to be lame, especially without Becky. That's all I see on Twitter all day long. It's so nauseating. Like, I get it. We like Becky. But I like Becky, too, and it's going to make Survivor Series a little shittier to me without her. This doesn't really change any of that for me.
It's a bad, you know, it's a bad situation, but they could run so much cool shit off of this. I mean, if you remember when Owen dropped Stone Cold on his head, you know, it was not to that magnitude of stardom right now, but, you know, Stone Cold was the hottest thing in the world. And he comes out the next night on Raw holding his neck brace like, you know, fuck that. You know, I'm on. I'm wrestling. Whatever. You know, she could come back. You know, she could come out and really, you know, cement like, you know, hey, yeah, I got a broken nose. It's fucking. I'm here to get down. You know what I mean? So I'm not
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, bro. What were you saying?
No. Finish your point because I was going to add to it. You're fine. Go.
Oh, I thought you were saying I was wrong or something. I was like, are we really going to go here 5 seconds into the show?
No, not yet. Not yet. We will, but not yet.
They could run some cool shit off of this. And do I think they will? Probably not. But I would at least expect them to keep her doing promos and furthering the angle, even costing Charlotte the title here at Survivor Series is something I would expect. Just to keep her spot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's get into this Becky stuff. So this is, what needs to be talked about, like you're getting into. So we kind of heard around, like, probably, 4:30, right around there, 4 o'clock, that Becky was out. This is kind of a rumor reported by Fightful.com. Right around there. And then we got confirmation from, Brian Alvarez said she was definitely out. Then Dave Meltzer said she was 50-50. I was talking to somebody online the whole time. Then it came out that she was out. And then I busted her up. And there was no big deal backstage. It's what people said. That it was kind of a shit happened scenario. That's how Fightful.com reported it. Even though Brian Alvarez felt the need to go in, stir up some shit, because that's what that little fucking mark does. Little fucking blood-sucking scum. But, yeah. Fuck him. But yeah, going in on Nia and her career and saying she needs to be sent down to developmental, that is not the fucking case at all. Shit happens. Seth Rollins broke John Cena's face, retired Sting. Sasha Banks broke Paige. I mean, we can go on and on and on. This stuff happens. It was a right-to-left punch that got her on the nose, caught more nose than she had to. I think that Becky walked into it a little bit. God, I'm going to get heat for that. But, yeah, she did, I think. So it was just an accident, man. You had the Good Sisters in there throwing forearms. But a bunch of people in the ring, and, you know, Becky got caught. Shit happens.
Dude, but to me, the blood added to the whole magnitude of what was taking place.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, you see the image of her on the stairs with the blood dripping, and she's like, yeah, this is my this is my fucking show. Like, that...
Mm-hmm.
For years to come will be like an iconic image for the women wrestling in WWE. No matter what you think, that's going to be an iconic image, is her standing there. Because when do the women ever do, you know, even hard, you know, hard way or not, I mean, it is rare. And she, you know, she had blood all over. So, I mean, to me, I was like, fuck, like, that's badass. That made me, like, even more... Like, hell yeah, like, she's, you know, that's good shit right there. So, accident or not, I mean, I think Nia upped Becky's fucking level even more, showing, like, fuck, she took that shot and never stayed down. She got back up, she finished what she was supposed to do, and then had the moment on the stairs. So, hey, Nia Jax, you're... The mistake or whatever it was, the accident, I think added to Becky's fucking aura right now. So, props.
Oh, that's 100%. It wasn't planned, but Becky went through with it. I think that's why everybody was so surprised today whenever they heard that she was out, because she did such a good job after that happened. The whole time she had blood on her face, she killed it. So, I think that's why everybody was kind of shocked. That's definitely why I was. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you seen a women's wrestler have this much swagger? I'm not even talking about the fan love or anything. I'm talking just watching her. Like, man, she's got swagger.
Yeah, I, you know, honestly, maybe, and I, and not even to this level, to where just like you're like, damn. I mean, I want to say like Lita when she first came in with the clothes and shit, where she just, you're like, damn, she's got some swag, but that was more.
Mm-hmm.
Clothing and at that time the style, but Becky like just has kind of the natural like I'm the shit and I'm, you know, and I like right now maybe for me Tessa Blanchard coming up, but other than that, nobody.
Yeah, and I know that's a subjective weird question, but to me she just has so much confidence and so much like, man, I wish I could act like that. You know what I mean? Like, I can't ever remember me saying that about a women's wrestler. I can definitely never remember me saying that she's the hottest thing in WWE right now as far as, like, what she's doing in the ring and her promo work and just her overall character is just the best thing WWE has going. That's never been said for them, ever. That's a fact. In fact, that's even being smallly debated. I don't even think it's much of a debate. So, yeah.
Yeah, for a female to literally carry, like, she's carrying a lot of that product right now on her shoulders. And I think that's what's kind of messing with the fans is like, damn, she went down. But again, like, to me, when Stone Cold started that fucking fire run, dude, he got hurt too. And I expect her to come back even with more fire, dude, and more, you know, more intensity and swag to fucking just, like, kill it. And I'm looking forward to it, honestly, even more now.
I hope that it's, like, a speedy recovery and it doesn't take long. She looked pretty good tonight. I mean, other than her eye, but the way she was talking, I'm pretty worried about the concussion. They said broken face, but, you know, it's you have a wrestling reported injuries, you know what I mean? So, I don't...
Whatever. Right.
Just, like, she just got her nose broke, so it looked like to me. So, not too worried about that. I've broken mine a bunch of times. But the concussion, they said severe concussion, that's, you know, you never know with the head. So, my hope is a speedy recovery, and she can resume right back into what she was doing, and this is just a hiccup. So, I hope so. What do you think about Charlotte facing Ronda Rousey this weekend?
I think fucking Charlotte, seeing her come through here lately, and I mean, I brought it up a couple weeks ago, maybe months ago. I mean, she's became fucking borderline attractive to me lately. I don't know, like before, I just didn't see it, but now I'm like, damn.
Well,
so that helps. I'm not even talking about her. I'm talking about her face. Like something happened. She got dangerously borderline attractive all of a sudden to me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
My wife said she got a new fucking face. That's a quote from my wife.
And see, I'm agreeing because I'm like, damn, like, I don't remember her looking like that. But she looks good as fuck. And so I enjoy seeing her even more now. I honestly think some way Becky, though, getting back to the point, I think Becky finds a way into this match to cost Charlotte or maybe even cost Ronda, setting up some shit at the Rumble. So, which, you know, when the Rumble hits, that's when the march to WrestleMania starts. So, I think a lot of shit's going to take place after the new year. So, I'm not putting a lot of stock into what happens right now. So, but some way she finds her way into that match.
I don't think so. So they had this weird moment in the ring where they brought all a bunch of female superstars out on SmackDown and Becky got to pick her replacement and she picked Charlotte. And it looked like Charlotte was kind of, I don't know, emotional during the whole segment. And then Becky picked her. She had, like, gathered herself, picked it up. And I guess they had an unscripted hug. They had a hug. That's a fact. They definitely had a hug. But it's going around that it was unscripted. I have no idea. Who knows? But what was I getting at with that? Oh, yeah. I'm reading off my notes, and I'm also looking down, too, looking ahead like a dumbass. No, but I thought it was awkward because the feud they just had and everything, for her to pick her and them hug, it just seemed out of character for Becky right now. I just didn't think that was a good look for her at this moment for character. I thought if they broke kayfabe, I'm using air quotes, if they broke kayfabe, it wasn't a good time to do it. I don't think so, in my opinion, but that's neither here nor there. But just, yeah,
I was just going to ask you if you had got that report of unscripted from Brian Alvarez. But no, apparently not.
No, I'm sure Brian Alvarez knew exactly what happened because he knows everything about wrestling and who's working, who's a bad worker, and what's an accident, who needs to be sent down to developmental, and what happens with people's careers. So good for him, man, firing off of a keyboard. Good for him.
I mean, I don't want to get y'all riled up. I mean, hell, he may end up asking you who you voted for. You know, so we definitely don't want to go there with him. I mean, you'd light his ass up.
So, all right, guys, here's a backstory. Around election time, people were going door to door, as everyone knows. And somebody came to my house and gave me a pamphlet, which I, you know, thanked them. And so I was closing the door. He said, well, who are you voting for? And I said, are you really coming to my house and asking me who I'm voting for on a Saturday? It was a Saturday. He said, yeah, and I just shut the door. That's that. I was getting ready to light his ass up, but my wife was there, and my dogs were barking, and I was just like, are you fucking serious? Like, I gave him that face. So Barry thought that was funny.
I just was wishing it would have been, late, like Ohio State Michigan day, and you're all amped, and he shows up. I think that would have been fucking tremendous.
I did have a friend's plan an engagement party for that day.
That poor guy.
I'm not going to that.
Guess who's
not going? I'll see you at the wedding, buddy. But yeah, I'm not going to your fucking party. That's a high state Michigan. We know better than that. So, yeah, what do you think about Nia? So, she caught a lot of heat on the internet. You know how the fucking Twitter trolls are. They're all over it. A lot of people were flipping, you know, saying that Brie was okay, but this was not okay because, you know, having their favorite wrestler. So,
How dare you
think about it? Well, I mean, that wasn't, no, not anybody in particular, just a lot of people I saw, you know what I mean, flip. So, what do you think, man?
About the incident here?
Mm-hmm.
About Nia? Well, I said earlier, I mean, I think it just added to Becky's aura. I mean, you had man, she is just crazy tough.
No, not that. Was Nia being irresponsible? Was she being, should she be sent down? Yeah, was it an accident?
You got me rehashing.
What do you think about, was she reckless?
Shit I already said.
No.
I get what you're saying. No, dude, it's fucking, to quote Eric Brown from one of our earlier episodes, this ain't fucking ballet. This is pro wrestling. This is a contact fucking deal. She's supposed, if you're getting assaulted by two people, are you supposed to just fucking stand there and take it, or are you just going to be swinging? And honestly, the shot, you can see her fist is not closed. Her thumb's even, she's throwing the Lex Luger punch, dude. The fucking thumb's even up. People used to go nuts over Luger, the way Luger would throw a punch. He'd have his thumb up. But she would have, you know, look at it. Her thumb is up, her hand's not even fully closed. And Becky, I put more blame on Becky than Nia because she walked into it. You have someone that's getting jumped by two people. You're going to fucking throw punches. it anywhere. And I thought that added to the realism of the angle of what was taking place. So, I definitely don't think, you know, people say, oh, I wish I could suspend my belief a little more. Well, there's some fucking blood for you. Suspend that shit now. Because Becky, to her credit, like I said, played it off like a fucking boss. She got up. She did her fucking shit, like I said, and fucking put it down. And I thought added to her character phenomenally. So I think Nia's mistake just added more fucking fuel to the fire for Becky.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it right now. I don't know if so much Becky walked into it. She definitely was very close. Nia should have felt her maybe a little better, but she just caught her across the nose. You know what I mean? If you're coming across like that and you catch somebody across the nose, that's kind of hard to do, to be honest with you, you know? So,
right.
I think she just clipped her. You know, it shit happens. I don't think it was anybody's really fault. I don't think Becky really walked into it. I don't think Nia was reckless. I think it's just, you know, accident, small accident. If it was on the side of her face, if it would have knocked her clean out, then I might be saying something different. But it didn't. She got up. Becky got up and did a hell of a job. And no one really thought anything about it at the time, to be honest with you. So I got no problem with it. So next
As
up, I guess
I.
we'll talk about. Yeah, for real. So next up, we'll talk about Survivor Series just a little bit, man, because, again, I couldn't really give a fuck less. Again, we have the Raw versus SmackDown champion. I know, dude. Well, actually, I'll go up here. The Raw versus SmackDown tag team champions. Yeah, the Authors of Pain versus Cesaro and Sheamus. This should be a fun one. I think it'll be good. I think Cesaro and Sheamus will get a really good match out of these guys. I think this will be a fun match. I think you're probably going to, I don't know. I'll pick the Office of Pain in this one just because they're younger and up-and-coming. But Cesaro and Sheamus, they can handle a loss right now. The win would do more for the Office of Pain than it would for the bar. And a loss doesn't really hurt the bar that much right here.
Right, and for that exact reason is why I'm going to take the bar. Because it will do more for the other guy. It will do more for the other team, you know. And that's exactly why. I'll take the bar.
Another match I'm excited for, I think could be good, is Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm going to go ahead and take Seth. Now, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take Shinsuke. They're going to go the whole Dean betrayed him, Seth's in a bad place, took a loss. I think they're going to take a chance to really bury Seth right here a little bit. So I'm going to take Shinsuke in this match. I think the win does more for Shinsuke. Kind of my previous logic in the last match. The win does more for Shinsuke. Seth can definitely come back from a loss. Better.
Yeah. Now, why do you think to kind of go in depth on this? Why do you think that they're going to try to bury Seth right now? I mean, he's been one of their top stars for so long. I mean, is this where you think
they? I shouldn't have said bury. That was a poor choice of words. I shouldn't have said bury. I just mean knock him down a little bit. I think he's getting ready to go in this feud with Dean. I think that you want to kind of tear him down to build him up kind of deal. So I wouldn't say bury him. But it's going to be a good match. But again, I think whenever they go back and tell the story of Dean versus Seth, they can talk about Seth went through a rough time, took a loss of Survivor Series, blah, blah, blah. So this match is basically to just be built to feed into that storyline, to be honest with you. I don't really know what it does for Shinsuke, other than he gets a win, could brag about it.
I'm going to take Seth. Just because I honestly think they want Dean to have that belt. And they're thinking, in the WWE thinking, having a title on the line for that type of a match with those two caliber stars adds to the match. So I'm taking Seth.
Well, the titles aren't for grabs. This is just champion versus champion match.
Well, then that's bullshit.
That's what all these matches are. You're just now knowing
why
that?
Why would you have... No. Why would you have champion for champion with no belts on the line?
Because that's what they do.
That's the dumbest... What's the stupidest fucking idea?
I
and
like
these people are fucking
this
hired.
Awesome.
Yeah, like I'm getting ready to fucking go off. That's the stupidest fucking idea. Who fucking, like, they honestly hire motherfuckers that write this shit? Never in the fucking history of fucking the terrible writers that have came down the fucking pike. I'm even going to fucking get heat with you right here. I don't know if fucking Vince Russo is that stupid. He would have put any title on the fucking line.
On a pole.
And you have a...
He'd put anything on
yeah.
any pole.
He would have had the fucking dildo on a pole match. But mm-hmm. fucking, you got... You have no titles on the fucking line? Are you got to be fucking with me.
If Vince Russo was booking, he'd have Mandy Rose wrapped around his face the whole show.
That's fine. That's I'd have, what's her fucking face? That Tony, whatever her name is. I wouldn't even give a fuck who was wrestling. But still, you got to have a title on the line. I know we went off the rails here. You fucking threw me for a loop. I can't believe that.
Well, the Cruiserweight title's on the line in the pre-show.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. You have your title, again, you're putting your titles that are on the line on the fucking pre-show that no one's going to watch.
I don't know what you want from me here, buddy.
I don't want to. I mean, it's fucking unreal. Like, they wonder why their fucking product is going to the fucking shit. That's why. Because your belts obviously mean jack shit. Jesus, criminy. That's fucking insane. Champion versus champion, no belt on the line. Unfucking real. Go ahead.
All right. I'll ask you about the next match. This might set you off again. This is Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. No belt on the line.
And the
just
title?
Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. No, it's not on the line.
No belt? Then fucking, yeah, fuck. I'll take Charlotte. Rousey suffers a non-title loss. Fuck, that just changed my whole viewpoint on this show. Like, no wonder you have no interest in it. I had next to no interest in this fucking show, and now I have none. Like, I don't even really want to talk about it anymore. But go ahead.
Barry's definitely going to want to talk about this. they build this as a Raw versus SmackDown pay-per-view. So all the matches are Raw versus SmackDown, even the traditional five-man elimination matches.
Raw
yeah,
I get
SmackDown
that.
All they are.
I get that.
Sorry, man.
But you could have excitement like, oh, man, maybe someone wins the belt and they switch over or whatever. They have the belt. They go both shows. Something. But, no, you're just like, fuck it. Like, let's just not put any of the belts on the line. That's fucking horrible.
I mean, it's WWE, buddy. Did you want to talk about Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan?
It's non-title, right?
Non-title match, yes.
Well, Daniel Bryan jobbed to Sheamus in, what, 8 seconds? He should do it in fucking 5 here because nothing's on the fucking line. Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm fucking flabbergasted. I'm going to use the white boy word. I'm flabbergasted at this fucking shit.
Tell us how you really feel, man.
I just did. I'm fucking appalled that they have fucking people up there writing this shit, and I fucking can't get a fucking call back. You know what I mean? Jeez.
It's a shame because Survivor Series is a traditionally great pay-per-view with a great championship
right.
match and traditional. It's always been one of my favorite pay-per-views, a Thanksgiving treat. You know what I mean? It was always that. And now it's dog shit. It's got commercialized. It's not good. So they need to treat it like their other pay-per-views and this, and just get rid of this Raw versus SmackDown shit. Brock Lesnar needs to have a championship match. Daniel Bryan needs to have a championship match. All the belts need to be on the line. It needs to be a bigger paper. I mean, I get that you can't do that with every belt because those five-man tags are going to take so long. But, I mean, there has to be something. I mean, the show's, what, 4 hours long? Five, you count?
Yeah, you can't get one fucking title match in there? I mean, even the fucking suspense. If you make Daniel Bryan against Brock, title versus title, that adds something to your fucking product. Like, people are, even though people might go, it's going to be a fuck finish, you know, DQ or whatever. So, like, so people are going to want to see that. But no, like, oh, I got to fuck, calm down. You got my fucking blood pressure up. Dealing with these fucking idiots.
Okay, well, let's go to the polar opposite of that then. Since I don't even know, like, I'll watch on Sunday, but I'm definitely more interested in the Sunday night football game, to be honest with you, the Vikings and Bears, than I am this pay-per-view because I can't get into it. So it's going to be a waste of time. I'll check in. I might rewatch it, like, at night a little bit the next day, but I really could give a shit. I don't think anything's going to come of it, and none of it means anything. So bunch of quote-unquote dream matches to them. So, but the polar opposite of that is NXT TakeOver War Games 2. Right now, I believe it has 4 matches. I could be wrong.
Yep.
If I'm wrong, somebody please call or tweet me. But 4 matches. You're going to have the first match we'll talk about is the War Games match versus the Undisputed Era versus Ricochet and the War Raiders. Is that it? Is that the only people in it? Has to be somebody else. Is Tyler Bate in this match too?
Yeah, there's. Are you live on the air trying to find the matchups here?
No, I was right. So it's Pete Dunne and Ricochet and War Raiders versus Undisputed Era. So it's Adam Cole, Fish, Strong, and O'Reilly. I'm going to go ahead and take Undisputed Era, but this is going to be a really fun match. I know, so Barry, you're an old school wrestling fan, especially the South. Jim Crockett promotions, all that stuff. Do you get excited about War Games matches current day?
The first few were pretty cool. You know, you had Dusty and Dusty, the Road Warriors, Nikita against the Horsemen. I mean, The first ones were really cool. I mean, and then about 92, 93, they got kind of fucking hokey. But, I mean, a cage match is always fucking cool, you know, if you can get the right chemistry. These guys are all young guys that are going to bust their ass. So I'm actually excited for this because I honestly, like, they'll give their bodies to this match. And in a War Games match, that's kind of what you have to do. You just got to say, fuck it, I'm going for broke. And so that's my expectations, is they may fill the show, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think it's going to be unbelievable. You're going to have the 2 rings set up, the big cage, War Games rules. Ricochet is going to do some unbelievable things with 2 rings put together. I can't wait to see what he does. It's going to be really fun. We know what Adam Cole can do. Undisputed Era was in this match last year. Adam Cole is one of the great minds in wrestling, I think, right now. Especially him and Ricochet when they got together at TakeOver New Orleans. I thought it was unbelievable. Was it TakeOver New Orleans? It might have been another time. I can't remember. But when these guys get unbelievable, I'm excited to see what War Raiders can do on this kind of a stage. Bobby Fish is healthy, but Pete Dunne is the young up-and-comer in this match. And he's done some big things with the UK Championship, and people are aware of him. And he has an elite figure coming out, which is, you know, kind of an ode to him. And it's a dope figure, too. It's going to be great. We'll talk about that sometime. But I think this could be a really big coming-out party for him. All the internet marks are obviously knowing. All of Twitter knows him. That's all. That's well known. But just the casual wrestling fan who tunes into this show is really going to come away from this match thinking how good Pete Dunne really is. And they're going to want to know who this guy is and what he does. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a coming out party for Pete Dunne.
Okay. Now, is that the one you said got with old girl Tony something?
No, that's the other one. It's Tyler Bate.
Well, okay, because that's my hero right now. So fuck Pete Dunne. When you said UK, but go ahead. I hope he does well. You know, I'm just saying. And Roddy Strong just got married this past weekend, so congratulations to him and Marina, one of the four horsewomen.
Nice. Good for Roddy Strong, man. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
I know you probably followed a lot of these guys on the independents. I know Hanson and Rowe, they came from the Cleveland promotion. I think it's AWA, up north in Cleveland. They're up there wrestling at church.
AAW,
I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. They were up there, and one of them's actually dating Sarah Logan. I think they're all from Cleveland, or at least the two of them are from Cleveland area.
Yeah.
So, cool to see them get a chance. Like, we saw them as War Machine for a long time on Ring of Honor, Wrestling the Young Bucks. They had really good matches. They've been around for a lot of years, so it's good to see them get a chance on a stage like this. People are going to come away thinking how great they are. I know I talked about it being a coming out party for Pete Dunne, but War Raiders might be able to steal the show here. As far as, like, the unknown people realizing who they are. So that's going to be a really, really, really fun match.
Yeah, and I think they're big enough where these other guys fly for them. You know what I mean? They they take the bumps. I mean, so they could come off looking like monster heels. You know what I mean? And that's I think WWE needs another team like that right now, in all honesty.
Oh, for sure. So it couldn't hurt. The tag team division could always needs help. So get a young tag team like this, it can be really, really cool. Next up, we will talk about, the NXT Championship match. We'll talk about Tommaso Ciampa and Velveteen Dream. This is going to be really fun. I don't think Velveteen's going to win. I think Tommaso's going to hold on here. But it's going to be a really fun match. It's going to be Tommaso Ciampa and anything right now. He's definitely the hottest heel in NXT. I don't know if he's the hottest thing. I think he's cooled off just a bit with all the Johnny Gargano stuff and all that's going on with that storyline. I think that storyline's kind of taking precedent on NXT. But this will be a really good match. Velveteen Dream continues to turn up every pay-per-view, put out some great work. People are always talking about him. I think nothing's going to change here. Tommaso's going to win, but again, I think Velveteen's going to be the star of this match.
Well, here's my spicy take on this match is whoever loses gets called up.
Oh.
Whoever does the favor is getting called up. I have a sneaking suspicion. Sources close to me are telling me that's going to happen.
Yeah, sources up here in Wisconsin?
Brian Alvarez.
Yeah, he knows everything, man. Brian Alvarez is a wrestling guy.
Honestly,
wrestling genius.
I don't even know who the fuck that is, so I'm just going to use that now. Every time we talk, I'm going to say sources say. Like, I got fucking sources, and it's going to be him.
Well, a little insight into Brian Alvarez. He's a wrestling god. He knows everything about wrestling. He's been around for a long time, square up Dave Meltzer's ass. So if you ever need to find Brian Alvarez, just pull down Dave Meltzer's pants, split apart his butt cheeks, and then you'll see some donkey. And then you'll see some donkey from Shrek looking motherfucker with some goofy headband pop his head out, spewing some hateful garbage. So
probably wearing.
If he's speaking
Hot Topic
wrong,
shirt.
Well, it probably fits him. He's not a 3X. Again, he lives up Dave Meltzer's ass, so he's not huge.
Well,
he's able to fit
so
up.
So he can fucking get shit. He can get shit sent to him. right. area code Meltzer's asshole.
He knows everything about wrestling, though. He probably gets free stuff. He has so many fans.
That's cool. Can I get a sponsor? Somebody needs to fucking sponsor me BBMs.
Who can we get to sponsor you? Who do you think?
I don't fucking know. Fucking,
Well, you're with
Larry.
You're in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Maybe some cheese company?
We'll get fucking Larry's Big and Tall, and I'll fucking, you know, except it'll be short and round, change his name, but as long as I get some free fucking shirts, I'm cool with it. I'll put you over.
Berries for sale.
Always.
So loser gets called up with your spicy take, but you didn't say who was getting called up.
I said whoever's doing the favor. Because I don't know.
And who's that going
to, you know,
who's that gonna be?
My sources wouldn't reveal who was going to do the favor.
Oh, damn. On the fence, motherfucker. Look at you. Play it safe.
I'm tiptoeing.
See, I said
they
were going to get called
wire,
up.
Son.
Hell
yeah,
yeah,
and, hey, watch one of them motherfuckers get called up, and I'm going to say you heard it here first, November 13th, you fucking heard it right here. And start hitting me up, asking me what's going on in the locker room.
Next up, off that, Shayna Baszler versus
Don't
Kyrie Sane, 2 out of 3 falls for the NXT women's title. So, are you up for picking this one?
Absolutely, I'm gonna go Baszler. I think she is fucking just hitting her stride right now. I mean, she is freaking on fire, and I just can't see them having her job one pay per view quote unquote after winning the title in such a not dominating way, but she looked really good doing it, even with the help from the other gals. So that's just my take. I'm taking Shayna Baszler again.
Yeah, she just got the championship at Evolution. I think this is just a standard rematch deal. It's going to get some time because it's 2 out of 3 falls. I think Kyrie Sane will steal her fall, obviously. But I'm going to take Shayna Baszler as well. So I don't think much has come from this. I think this is just standard. I think this will be probably not the best match of the night. So because the next match is Johnny Gargano versus Aleister Black. I think this will be the main event. I'm going to take – oh, man, I don't know who I'm going to take here. I want to take Gargano with a new heel turn. I think he's going to get some kind of cheating finish. He's going to fuck him over somehow, and he's going to take the win. Maybe Candace comes out with her new bangs and dark hair. Maybe bashes Aleister over the head with something. And, you know, Johnny Gargano steals the win. So the winner does not get called up. You know what? Aleister Black might get called up. He very well might. I know he's just coming back from injury, but he might get called up after this match.
Talk about fucking on the fence. I mean,
William, I picked the match.
You're throwing in these mics. You're throwing in these mics. I'm telling you fucking fact. Factual shit. Sources have told me close to the situation. Dreamer Ciampa's going up to fucking Stanford.
Who's it going to be?
I'm not going to fucking ruin it. Not going to ruin it for you here. I'm not going to drop this information for free, you know. I'm just making you tune in and watch it. You know, and Troy texted me a good Dickies. Dickies should sponsor me. That's who fucking should.
Dickies. Good for you, man.
That's
they make
right.
a quality pants. Quality work pants.
That's right. And I'll fucking Onyx. I'll be playing fucking Slam from Onyx wearing my Dickies.
Oh, my God. Any thoughts on the Gargano-Aleister Black match?
Yeah, I just said you're a fucking tiptoer. You're on the fence. You won't give our listeners the hard-hitting facts of what they need to hear. This match here is going to be, and this is a fucking spicy take, this is going to be a letdown from what everyone's expecting. I'm going to go ahead and say it. This match here is not going to be as good as people are thinking. I think they got a little high expectations. I think some stuff may end up getting rushed, and people will not be satisfied with this match.
Jeez.
Now, how, look,
I can see that.
Dead.
I can see that.
Oh, now he's on my side.
No, I gave it some thought. You said something, and I thought about it. I don't just shoot from the hip like you do. I actually just, you know, I don't have sources. I have to think for myself. I don't open up Dave Meltzer's ass crack and wait for some fucking horse tooth gremlin to come out and give me information. So I have to actually think for myself here.
You're just slandering the fuck out of these motherfuckers today.
Fuck him. Fuck anybody else.
If you don't like
too,
if you don't if you don't like him, fuck him. You know what I mean? Fuck that motherfucker. I'm
right
with you. Let's get it.
Alright. You want to hear about the toys I bought?
Do I want to hear about them? I've already heard about them, but our listeners are interested.
Alright. So I bought a Roman Reigns Elite 62 with the Intercontinental Championship belt this weekend. I bought it on Saturday, I believe. I did unbox it because I wanted the Intercontinental Championship belt out of it. I also took my Universal Championship that I got off of Kevin Owens and gave it to Roman in my little display deal. So Roman is the Universal Champion in my house right now. Put the Intercontinental Championship on Seth that I have for my display. Good-looking figure. I'm not too happy about the scan. I think it's got kind of a smirk. I more see like a kind of an angry face out of Roman, but overall it's cool. I like it. I also got Elite 36 Diamond Dallas Page. I got it in a beat-to-shit box, so I unboxed it. Looks pretty good. It's kind of hard to stand up, so it's kind of hard to pose a little bit, but pretty good. The vest was impossible to get on. But I kind of got the figure because I got the T-shirt that has the logo on it as well, and I thought it'd be kind of cool to have. So I did get that, same place. But my big purchase for the weekend, and I kind of want to give a shout-out to a place here in Columbus. It's called I want to get the address right here. All right. It's Hobbies Galore, and it's in Westerville, Ohio, which is in Columbus. It's 5757 Emporium Square. I told him I'd shout him out on the podcast. He hooked me up with a Funko Pop version 47 Razor Ramon Chase variant. So he is, instead of the standard purple with gold chains that you would find in like your local Target or something, this is the black NWO type with the black boots, black knee pads, black vest. Not sure why it's called Razor Ramon, because he was never Razor Ramon when he was in the NWO or WCW for that matter. But, again, very cool figure. Got a little tiny bit of value to it, but just something different. I got it for him for $15, actually. All his Chase variants are all $15 on his Funkos. All his standard Funkos are $10. He also has not a lot of WWE figures, but he has a guy. So if things are getting bought, it will be supplied. Right now they got, I want to say, 8 Jax figures. I sent you the pictures, Barry. So you have a lot of WrestleMania 21s, a lot of Stone Colds in there, The Miz. You have a Stone Cold Triple H 2-pack in there. So really cool. It, all the Jax figures are $15 and the 2-packs were $30. So it's all pretty standard price, not based on value at all. So there's a very good chance you can go in there and kind of stumble onto a steal. Actually, my Funko Pop is an Amazon deal right now for $30. It's going for about $35, $40 on eBay right now, and I got it for $15. So that just shows you like what you're able to do when you go in there. So I will be, it's actually literally very a 2-minute drive from where I work. So very happy to have discovered that place, talk to the guy, let him know. Might have him on the show sometime. We talked about that. So good dude. Just wants to hook people up that want figures with figures. That's kind of his deal.
So you're just a wheeling dealing fucking guy there in the Westerville community.
Well, I mean, I do what I can do. I go in there, there's action figures just sitting there, and he says, yeah, there's only a couple people who really come look at them, but, you know, I have a guy that has everything, and if you want stuff, I can get you stuff. So it's just, it was one of those conversations, and I let him know, like, of course I'm thinking, man, if I get this deal on the show, maybe get some free figures out of this with some store credit or something, I would be very, very fucking happy. So always good to do business with people, man, and talk about it.
Well, that and, you know, supporting the local business, you know, always
exactly.
Dropping the small guys some dollars. So I commend you for your efforts.
I appreciate that, man. He's just a guy trying to get by in there, but he does have a lot of stuff. He's got a lot of remote control cars, just classic toys, lots of Star Wars. But again, you saw that I sent you every Jax figure. I sent you every Jax figure he had. And it's just not stuff that you really run into in the wild, am I right?
Yeah, some of those, the boxes I had never even seen. Those are pretty cool. So, yeah, I'd do a little research, and hell, if you get them for a decent price, but take them.
Yeah, if you told him, like, for instance, right now it's just Stone Cold stuff, but if you told him you wanted some Randy Savage stuff, some Bret Hart stuff, he said he can get that stuff easily. So it's some guy who's just a collector in town that just looking to unload some of his stuff is basically what it is. So if you guys are in the Columbus area, hit them up, search it on the internet. You can, they're on Facebook as well. I'm sure he does online deals. So check them out. Oh, Barry, I've been waiting to talk about this for like 2 days now. And that's my beloved Cleveland Browns. Let me tell you about my Cleveland Browns right now. They had a really good draft last April. A really good fucking draft. Chris Rucker, shout out to you for your Georgia Bulldog, Nick Chubb. We were kind of talking during this game because they were playing the Falcons, so I'm guessing they were carried locally down in Georgia. I was talking like, man, I really like your dude, Nick Chubb, man. He's really, really, really good for us. Boom, 92-yard touchdown run. We have not had a running back with that kind of breakaway speed since. I don't know, maybe William Green, and William Green was nowhere near what Nick Chubb is. But William Green did have breakaway speed and could break a long one. Baker Mayfield starting out the game 12 for 12. He had a perfect first half, threw for 3 touchdowns, really spread the ball around. I think there was 8 or 9 different receivers that caught balls. And once they got the lead and they were able to run the ball and they were able to get third down, and the defense was really productive again. Miles Garrett wasn't much – I mean, he was kept in check a little bit more, but Emmanuel Ogba stepped up. Having Joe Schobert in there is really big for us. Denzel Ward almost got another pick. But T.J. Carey, the job that he did on Julio Jones, I did not see that coming. I was really worried about that matchup all week. I pictured a big day for Julio. And, man, we just – everyone did their job, man. It was really, really good game, and I'm really proud of what they did. A lot of teams that fire their coach, they really just go in tank mode and things go in shambles, as they have in previous years for the Browns. But I like to see a group that is mentally strong enough to battle through and get a win against a good football team that does have a shitty defense. The Falcons' defense fucking sucks. I'll say that. But to get a win in that situation, one in your bye week, felt really good. And I think as an organization, they really needed it. So I'm really happy with where the Browns are right now. I know we only have 3 wins. I think 6 wins this season is a really good year for us at this point. And get some momentum going to the next season, and don't worry about where your draft's at.
Yeah, I can get with that. I mean, like I said, hell, they were going to have a big, big year. And to me, they honestly have. Like I said, there's three, four games, I mean, they could legitimately be setting at 6-2, 6-2-1, something like that. I mean, and nobody could say shit. You know, like I said, they have how many losses by fewer than 3-5 points, you know. It's crazy the losses that they've taken. Baker was out there. I mean, he was dealing. And, you know, he woke up feeling dangerous, as your boy Jason Witten quoted last night, you know, representing Tennessee.
And actually, Rucker just he just tweeted at me. He said, Nick Chubb is the man. Y'all did have a great draft. Once they get a coach, all those high draft picks, they finally come together. And I think what he said there has a lot of merit to it. You have a chance to bring in – I would like to see him bring in a really young, offensive-minded head coach to go along with Baker Mayfield. Hopefully maybe keep Greg Williams on. I think what he's done for the Browns at this point is commendable. If he doesn't get a head coaching job somewhere else, hopefully he's able to stay on and man this defense because he's done wonderful for them. But I think Sean McVay's the guy that everyone thinks about, like, oh, if we could bring in a guy like that, a young – energetic, can work long hours, long days, offensive-minded guy. And I hope that's somebody – I mean, I would love – Kyle Shanahan, I think, is going to be a really good one. And, Rucker, if you're listening, I think he would have been a perfect fit in Dallas with Dak and his creative play calling. And I think he could have played to Dak's strengths. That's neither here nor there. But something like that, I think, is what the Browns need. But I think Greg Williams can hold this thing together and keep us stable till the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think that the Browns caught some shitty luck early in the season, and the firing of poor Hugh Jackson, who's now a Bengal, is and Marvin Lewis, never forget this. Your replacement is always closer than you think. And he's sitting right next to you because I honestly think if they fire Marvin Lewis and go with Hugh Jackson, now how good would old Marvin fill them?
And, you know, back to what you said earlier about the Browns losing those games, that might have been a blessing in disguise because I think we need to get Hugh Jackson out of there. I think that he wasn't a good talent evaluator. I think he was full of shit. I think that he didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't very good at delegating his power. He wasn't very good at running an organization. So it wasn't very good at evaluating talent and working with talent and developing talent. Not for us. So not what I saw. So I know he was dealt a bad hand, and last year was 0-16 mode, and I get they were trying to lose. But this year he just mismanaged games. Nick Chubb should have got a lot more playing time. That's obvious at this point. So I'm kind of at this point, we may look back at this and be glad the Browns lost these games to get Hugh Jackson out of there, because the next coach could be the guy to take us to where we want to go, which is a dominant team and someone that can contend year in, year out. That's the dream for every organization. So, but your Giants last night played an ugly, ugly game. Luckily, the 49ers
were there.
Ugly. It was that. Well, listen, I'm not knocking the Giants too hard. I thought Eli managed the game well. I think he is their best option right now. Obviously, the way he managed a two-minute drive, they should probably be playing like that more of a tempo. He can't throw the ball downfield. He's underthrowing everything. He's trying to place the ball. He looks like Alex Smith to me is what he looks like, but not as efficient. So, but we saw a lot of mistakes going down the stretch by both teams. And you said it last night as we talked, like it was indicative of their records the way the teams were playing. There's three combined wins. And all you saw was bad penalties and all kinds of shit down the stretch.
Yeah, it was an ugly game, but the Giants came back. I mean, they were down 10 and ended up outscoring them 17-3 there in the second half. So, I mean, what they were doing towards the end of the game is what they should be doing from Jump Street. I mean, he got Odell going early, which is good because that always holds the whining and crying down to a minimum. I had such high hopes for this year that
It's just been a letdown that's hard to fucking watch them, even when they win. It's just like, God, you guys are so much better than this. But before I go into that, you know, where do you see the Browns next year?
I think we can be a 10-win team next year. Nine, ten wins. Pushing for an outside playoff spot. Our division is always a tough one. Depending on how long Ben – I mean, you're always going to be competing with the Steelers as long as Ben Roethlisberger's there. So winning the division is always going to be a tough thing, depending on how the schedule looks. But if Baker makes a jump, it all kind of rides on if Baker makes a jump, because in the NFL, it's such a quarterback-driven league. I know that's a cliche, but it's such a quarterback-driven league that we're going to go as far as Baker Mayfield takes us. So I think that he has a chance to develop. I think he's a hard worker. I think he's going to keep himself out of trouble. This, of all this, like, sideshow talk and everything else, I haven't seen it from him yet. So let's get through an off season with him and see what that's like. But I think he's going to develop. I think he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the AFC. He's not going to be the best quarterback in the AFC, but he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the AFC. And that's going to translate to a 9-10 win season for us as long as we stay healthy and add talent in the draft and maybe a little bit of free agency.
Yeah, see, I think this year under their belt playing together, you know, of course, I was familiar with Nick Chubb being a Tennessee fan, an SEC fan. So we got our dose of Nick Chubb on the regular. So I kind of knew the talent that was there. Like I said, they needed to get rid of old U, and you know, I think they've looked like a completely different team. To me. So yeah, I agree with you. I think they can be a 10-win team next year. But on to my Giants.
Oh,
so,
Hold on.
I'm cutting you down. I'm cutting you fucking down.
No, hold on one second.
Letting you answer.
Rucker's saying we're not drug testing here at the podcast ETF, which I can tell you we absolutely will not do that. But the Browns can win 10 wins next season. He also followed up, ha ha ha, joke. But in all seriousness, like you said, they could be a 6-win team right now.
Right. And nobody could say nothing. I mean, they could be sitting at 6-2-1, 6-3-1, something like that, and nobody could really say anything. I mean, they've lost, like I said, how many games have they lost in overtime?
They played
like
four
three?
Overtime games.
And they've lost, what, three of them?
Three and one? I think.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
they've
yeah.
had one.
I mean,
I can't remember.
I mean, that's insane for one team to go to overtime four times.
Mm-hmm.
In one season. I mean, that's crazy. So, I mean, the talent is obviously there. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to say that that Rucker is like Stringer Bell or something like that off the wire. I mean, but he's kind of putting us out there, trying to bring up drug testing on our podcast. You know? So I don't appreciate you trying to narc us out like that. We're sitting here, Eric's enjoying his wine. I'm sitting here trying
nice,
to, like I said, like I always say, living at the foot of the cross, you know. Joel Osteen's one of my heroes, and you're bringing up that filth. So you keep it down, Rucker. We are what's that, DARE. We're part of the DARE podcast program.
Yeah, that's it. DARE program. The DARE podcast program. We would probably be the only two people in that program. Oh, he's talking again. All right, what about your Giants, dude?
My Giants, depending on if the kid from Oregon comes out, Eli will be our quarterback next year. I honestly, again, the fucking talent is there, but now they've traded away Snacks Harrison, who was our run stopper. I always liked him.
The only good trade they did was got rid of Eli Apple off our team. You know, he was a scrub. He was a Ohio State guy. Any Ohio State player is not welcome on the Giants, in my eyes. And I'm glad we got rid of him. And other than that, though, I hate to say it, but next year might be an 8-8 season again. Depending, I mean, we might go 9-7 if we can sneak into
with
the playoffs. Eli's always
in Madden.
Are you being disrespectful? Are you being disrespectful? Playoffs.
I think you're being disrespectful. The rest of the NFL, the Giants can win 8 games with Eli Manning playing quarterback. That's not happening, dude.
Eli is a legend. All you got to do is check my Snapchat story. You'll see the throw. Sterling Shepard said, let me hold that, son. Game.
Odell Beckham should have had 240 yards receiving last night.
He should have. But like I said, I think Eli, sources close to the situation, have told me that Eli is nursing an arm injury that he's been keeping on the hush-hush for close to 2 years now. And he's going to go to France and have an experimental surgery done. And next year he'll be back to regular form.
At 38 years old next year, he'll be fine.
He's going to be like Barry Bonds was in baseball, son. Clean, clean bill of health. Nothing. Eli's head will be the size of Peyton next year. You watch. You watch.
Oh, my God.
People will be going, damn,
that's
Eli's
even
a gangster.
Hey,
man,
listen,
you ain't going to disrespect us. Like, you can talk about Rucker's shitty-ass Cowboys, you know, and Ezekiel and his fucking half shirts that he does shop at Hot Topic and wear sizes too small. Those shirts he wears are from Hot Topic. But other than that, I mean, they don't have fucking anybody. I mean, Dallas don't have nobody. They got Jason Garrett, son, and that's a wrap. He couldn't fucking coach a peewee football team.
That's gas.
I'll throw daggers at the Cowboys fan for disrespecting the Giants.
I'm gonna get a message. Was that him messaging you? I'm probably gonna have it. We went over a little bit. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, just want to say thanks to all the listeners. We appreciate you guys every week. You guys come out strong for us. Let us do even improving numbers every week. I mean, last week's show was really, really good. So we appreciate all the listens from, you know, all the guys. The retweets, the follows, we love all that shit, interacting with everybody. Hit us up. My Twitter is at bfrost28. Eric, you can do yours in the shows.
Yeah, I'm at EricBrown740. Our podcast account, which I do run, is at PodcastDTF. And again, like Barry, I thank you for everybody that listens and interacts with us and general bullshits with us and all the people I've met on Twitter. I love all you guys, man. It's just so much fun to just escape for a little bit and just talk wrestling and have these little side debates and just have these nice little distractions throughout the course of a day. Just really adds to it. So I'm really, really proud to be a part of this community, guys.
Yeah, and before we get off here, I just want to say sources close to the situation told us that we'll be back next Tuesday to do another show. So the fucking Dare podcast program will be back next Tuesday to entertain you guys. And hopefully you guys tune in and give us a call, yell at us, cuss us out. And like Eric says, tell him he's full shit. So with that being said, I'm going to say good night and God bless.
Just say no.
reach for the sky, boy.
Rolex first.
Woo!
Diamond ring first.
Woo!
Hit stealing.
Woo!
Wheeling stealing.
Woo!
Limousine riding.